You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, your host here, Colt Molesky, bringing you daily Wolves content. In case you want any written content, you can check out the Locked On Timberwolves fan rake site. And for all other sites that you want to go to for any of your other NBA needs, check out the Locked On NBA podcast, as well as the Locked On Network for all the other NBA teams and coverage. I have a special guest on from that network, Jeff Garcia, the host of the Locked On Spurs, and he is joining us today. We have a lot to talk about. Western Conference is a buzz. Teams jumping all over the place. First of all, Jeff, thanks for jumping back on the show. It's been a long time since you've been on.
Yeah, it's been a long time, Colton, but my goodness, I feel like I'm reeling right now. I don't know what to do. I'm just in this quandary right now about my Spurs.
Yes, the last time we talked actually was at the beginning of the season. Our two teams faced off in the opener for both teams to open up the season. Very different teams from when we talked last. And just as guys who cover the NBA on a day-to-day basis, I definitely feel old, a little weathered by the NBA season. And for the most part, the Spurs feel a little bit weathered as well by this NBA season. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I think I aged about 10 years this season with dealing with the Kawhi Leonard quad saga drama, to the injury rattled season, to now them facing the possibility of missing the postseason in quite some time. But yeah, I agree with you. This regular season kind of dragged on a bit. I'm ready for some postseason play.
As am I. I'm excited. It has been just an ever-changing kind of scene for the Western Conference. Teams bouncing around. The Timberwolves themselves bouncing all over the place. They lost a bunch of spots just by nature of not playing it when they had that five-day break. They have been looking good, though. Wins against the Warriors and the Wizards over the last couple. Spurs have been reeling. As you said, they were able to grab a win against the Magic, but they had lost three straight before then, and their win against the Grizzlies was the one thing that stood between them and a pretty significant losing streak over the last few games. Looking rough. There's all kinds of Kawhi stuff coming, swirling around the team. Him being unhappy, it sounds like, maybe. Not sure where the injury, where that lies, that he was supposed to come back and play on Thursday against the Pelicans. Looks like that's not going to happen again. All of this is going down, and the Spurs still, considering everything, considering their best player has been off the court the majority of the season, still in that eighth spot. Are you kind of impressed with the Spurs' work, or is it overall been just kind of disappointing, just all the stuff off the court that's happened for this team?
Yeah, they're actually, as of this recording, they are ninth in the Western Conference race. They don't have the tiebreakers versus Jazz North Denver, so add more salt to the wound. This season, I would chalk it up to just disappointed, and I if there's a phrase, maybe what could have been. I think that's kind of where I'm standing right now, what could have been for this Spurs team. You look at last season, how they ended it. They were a Zsa-Zsa slide the foot under Kawhi's leg move away from possibly giving the Warriors some run. Kawhi was playing like MVP candidate, that he was, and the Spurs were looking good, and then we all know what happened from that point on. And then the drama started. The Kawhi's quad over the offseason, and he didn't play at all during the preseason, played 9 games, just cannot get it going. Then you got injuries to LaMarcus Aldridge, to Pau Gasol, to Manu Ginobili, to Danny Green, to Joffrey LaVerne. I lost count. This is how bad it's been, Colton. They are the 20-plus different starting lineups this season.
Oh,
that's
gosh.
How much of a carousel this season has been. I wouldn't say I'm disappointed in the team. I think Pop has done masterful with what he has. Think about this. He had at two during the season trot out pretty much G League teams to get the job done. DeJounte Murray, Derek White, Bryn Forbes, Davis Bertans. There are times where those guys were leading the charge. The only thing that I am a little disappointed in, and I don't think it's getting a lot of notice right now, is Parker and Ginobili. Not because of their stats, but because they didn't step up as the leader that they should be. These are two individuals that just ooze the Spurs of knowledge. They've been there, done that with Pop. They've done it for years with him. And now they see that this is the team that lost their main star, Kawhi Leonard. LaMarcus Aldridge, he's playing great, but he's not a vocal leader. He's not the type of guy that's going to rah-rah rally the troops.
Mm-hmm.
I think Manu and Tony dropped the ball on this. They really should have been the ones to be getting in guys' faces. They should be on the bench yelling and screaming at these young guys. It wasn't until the end of the season that we're seeing right now where finally Parker is starting to say, you know what? These guys are inexperienced. Like, it just hit him. I'm thinking...
Somebody just told him that yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. He's coming out. Manu Ginobili, prior to Parker's statement, was saying, like, these are young guys that we're having to play with, getting used to them. It's gotten to the point, Colton, where Tony Parker has even said, there are times, years in the past, where we didn't have to communicate. We already knew where we were going to be. Now we have to, and now when we communicate, it's a mess. That's how bad it's been this season. I am amazed how this Spurs team is still fighting for a playoff spot. Well, actually, I shouldn't be too amazed because, you know, the Spurs, as of this recording, are number one in opponents' points per game. That's the defense. The defense has really been keeping them alive.
Mm-hmm.
But you look at the last few games they've had, they look terrible against the West's best. They're going to look, I'm saying it now, they're going to continue to look terrible as the season winds up. And yes, they beat the Magic, but let's face it, the Magic are tanky. I am glad that they won, but I am not impressed that they won. Wake me up when they beat the Pelicans. Wake me up when they beat the Warriors. Wake me up when they beat the Rockets. So those are still teams they have on their slate still.
Yeah.
And their regular season's not even over yet. So this Spurs team is hanging on by a thread to their playoff lives. Not only do they need to win a bunch of games to close out the season, they need some help too. Utah and Denver need to lose a few games. So this is unfamiliar territory for me. I've been covering the Spurs team from Press Row since 2004, and I've been spoiled. Let's face it, Colton. I've been spoiled really bad.
You've had a few more playoff bursts than the Timberwolves. So I'll give you that.
Yeah, but I personally, and I know talking to other people on Press Row and other national media guys and women have told me, wow, how does it feel to be on this end of the spectrum? I'm like, it feels a little awkward, but hopefully Kawhi can come back. Hopefully he will make some sort of an impact, and hopefully the Spurs will make the postseason. And I never thought I would say this. Hopefully the Spurs make the postseason. Wow.
No, yeah, it's wild times. We're going to touch on, first of all, the Timberwolves win over the Wizards. We're going to touch on the matchup. The next game that the Timberwolves have is on Saturday against the Spurs. Again, another nice little break here for the Timberwolves, at least. And we're going to touch on all that. But first, I wanted to ask you, this question's been burning in my mind. Right now, it looks like Kawhi is the one, but which injury just... not over the course of the season, but which injury coming to the last 15, 13 games of the season is going to be more impactful for which team? The Butler injury or the Kawhi injury? Which team would benefit more by having their superstar back on the roster, the Timberwolves or the Spurs?
Wow, that's a really, really good question. I would have to venture a guess and say your Wolves. I think having Butler back in the fold coupled with the phenomenal young guys that Minnesota boasts, Cat, obviously Butler, et cetera, they're going to need him. Why? Because he is a veteran of the game. They got a lot of young guys on that roster outside of Jamal Crawford. I get that. But, you know, they're going to be relying on Cat to do a lot of stuff, Wiggins to do a lot of stuff. And I think Butler would be a stabilizing force right now. I think if the Spurs somehow get into the postseason without Kawhi, I think they'll be okay because they have guys that have been there, done that. But I think having Butler back is more important for the Wolves than Kawhi coming back for the Spurs.
No, yeah, and I think a lot of people would say Kawhi for just the obvious reasons. But my problem, and when I look at this, the problem I have, the biggest problem I have is that Jimmy Butler needs to log minutes with this team, mostly because the experimentation for the Timberwolves roster was so little at the beginning of the season. Do you know that Teague and Tyus Jones, this is probably the most creative kind of duo you could throw in there, having those two solid guards for the team play together, but they have played 8 minutes together. 8 minutes throughout the course of the season, Teague and Jones. That just shows you how kind of little creativity Tibbs has had towards this roster. Nothing away from him. He's a great coach, but the Timberwolves don't have a lot of lineups to throw out on the floor. And so when you take away one of their starters who has been logging so many minutes with the other starters, the mix of players isn't great. And now they have been winning games. Towns has been phenomenal, and that's helped. But the mix of players isn't going to gel together very well because they haven't been playing together very much. And so Butler, I think, is the crucial piece there, whereas you have the Spurs, and just by necessity, they have played tons of different guys together, and so they can throw out multiple different lineups any given night.
You know, it was the Spurs lost to Houston, and after the game, you had Rockets, Chris Paul, and James Harden talking about the Spurs situation. He told the media there in the huddle that somehow, some way, Popovich will figure it out. And I think that is the biggest wild card right now for the Spurs heading into the postseason if Kawhi doesn't make it back. And Popovich is going to have to dig deep in that bag of tricks he has to get the best out of, and the most out of what he has now. Mm-hmm. He's been hanging his hat on the fact that players like Forbes and Bertans and Murray and White and Brendan Paul have been getting some run out of necessity, and he's hoping that'll pay dividends if they make the postseason. But at this point, I gotta agree with you. I think the Spurs, if they make the postseason, can survive more than the Wolves can without Butler.
No, I would totally agree with that.
Yeah,
we're going to get to a slew of other topics headed into looking forward to the weekend and the game between the Timberwolves and the Spurs. First, some sponsors. Hey guys, it's time to talk about the boatload of money you can make this week by betting MyBookie. If you haven't been, then check them out. This is the perfect time to get in on the action. The madness of March is here. Lay down some money and score big on college hoops. Join me and thousands of online players and start betting at MyBookie.ag. Are you sick and tired of getting the runaround when you ask for a payout? Join in MyBookie today. I would only recommend a service that has been good to me and our listeners. That's why I urge you to make your way to MyBookie. You could win, and they pay out fast without any hassle. You're wasting time betting anywhere else. They even have in-game live betting, so you can even place a bet after tip-off. Join now, and MyBookie will match your first deposit with a 50% bonus. You can get an even better chance to win with a $1 million bracket challenge. Use the promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate your offer. Visit MyBookie today. Play, win, get paid. So when the Spurs are playing the Timberwolves coming to town, it's really a battle of the two strengths on each side of the ball. The Timberwolves are ranked 6th in points per game. They have 109.8 points per game is their average. And then defensive rate of the San Antonio Spurs is 2nd in the NBA at 102.2 points allowed. Really, the strength of the Spurs, like you were mentioning earlier, is defense, and the strength of the Timberwolves is consistently being solid on offense, despite even Butler going down. And even more so, I think you saw this against the Celtics. The Timberwolves struggled early against that defense, and the Celtics were able to make hay on the offensive side with their guards. Now here you see a matchup where LaMarcus Aldridge is yet again faced off against Towns down low. This is kind of a revamped Towns. He's played much better than he started out the season to finish out the season. So now you see the strength of these two teams really facing off offense versus defense, and then Towns versus Aldridge. This is going to be a battle down low, I think, and it's going to be a low-scoring game. It's going to be a really phenomenal watch to see Aldridge and Towns face off again. Is this kind of the matchup you're watching too, the premier matchup for you?
Indeed. LMA versus CKAT. Yep. LMA and Cat. Yep, it's going to be great to see these two Titans clash in the paint. You got the young Buck Cat who's coming into his own, and he's looking really, really good. And I think next season could be very interesting for him in a positive way and for your Wolves. As far as LMA is concerned, he is an all-star. He is just lighting it up this season. 20-plus point scoring. He's actually improved defensively as well. And, you know, what I like about this matchup, too, is that you got the Wolves, who are without Butler, and you got the Spurs, who are without Kawhi Leonard, and we know that Cat and LMA are going to likely, hopefully, you know, be a great clash, and but it washes out. And let's see who else steps up to help Towns, to help Aldridge. Will it be Teague? Will it be Wiggins for the Spurs? Will it be Gay? Will it be Murray? So I think really the matchup should look beyond the big matchup and look at the individuals outside of those two big guys. Who is going to step up on both teams to help Towns or Aldridge get the win?
And then I wanted to kind of circle back to the Wizards game last night, 116-111 win for the Timberwolves. Kind of in crunch time, they were able to outscore the Wizards 34-21 in the fourth quarter, 10 lead changes that game. Towns with a huge 37-point game. I was worried in this one about three-point shooting, about transition, but the Timberwolves did a good job of clamping down on both of those against the Wizards and against a good team led by Bradley Beal, a playoff team in the East. And they performed admirably. They had a strong finish. Jeff Teague was making plays down the stretch. Towns was as good as he has been for the last month of the season, hitting a corner three to kind of ice the game late in that one. And Wiggins was hitting crucial buckets at the end as well, even though he only finished with 16. I bring it up because the game that kind of stuck in my mind, it was a little bit ago, but the game that has stuck in my mind a little bit was the Warriors-Spurs game. I actually bet on this game. I lost a lot of money betting on the spread for the Warriors. Spurs and Warriors game was really good, though, if you didn't bet on the spread like I did. Spurs jumped out to a lead and lost it at the end of the game. Now, I'm not saying that the Timberwolves by any stretch are the Warriors, but I do think they have shown a little bit of an aptitude against good teams to close out well and to finish well by having big third or fourth quarters. Do you anticipate this being a problem for the Spurs?
You know, I almost fell out of my chair right now and laughed when you mentioned the fourth quarters and Spurs, because of late the Spurs haven't been able to hang on to fourth quarter leads. Yes, I know they had a huge lead over the Magic, but that's the Magic, and we know what they're doing. They're tanking, and we know they're not that good at the fact that the Magic did not have Gordon or Fournier. They just added up to a Spurs beatdown. But prior to that Magic game, they've had a couple of times where they've had leads on good teams and only to see evaporate. You mentioned the Warriors, that's one. The Pelicans, in the previous meeting, in the meeting number two between the Spurs and New Orleans, the Spurs had a double-digit lead, blew it. You fast forward to the recent game, Spurs-Lakers. Spurs had a double-digit lead in the fourth quarter, blew it. So now they got a quality Minnesota team, and I would not be surprised if the Spurs blow it again, basically because, hey, this Spurs team is inexperienced. They're trying to learn on the fly, the young guys. And as I mentioned earlier in the show, Pop is relying on very young kids. Close to their kids. They're babies still. They're just getting drinking age here in the United States. So You throw all that together, and you don't have Kawhi Leonard. Yeah, you know, it's going to shape up to be a tough time. But at the end of the day, though, Colton, I think, in my opinion, I think the Spurs will figure a way to get a nice signature win versus Minnesota. I think it's almost close, although I'll give you a little edge, almost an even playing field with both teams without star players, and both teams with quality big men. And I think the Spurs and the Spurs system, Popovich would game plan well against the Minnesota team. and vice versa. But at the end of the day, I think Minnesota will get, I'm sorry, the Spurs will get the W. It'll be a close one.
Mm-hmm.
But
no.
I think the Spurs will get the W.
No, definitely. I'm anticipating a very tight game as well. You're exactly right. You see kind of that that youth on the Spurs showing out, especially late in this season here. It's a lot like when Jeff comes on the show and he's got a young guy and myself podcasting. You got the veteran presence
no,
in Jeff carrying the podcast. It's good stuff. Before you head into the, and I think I said the Timberwolves are home. The Spurs are home, and they get the home stand a little bit here. They played the Magic the other night at home, and then they have the Pelicans and the Timberwolves, all home games. Will it be kind of a good detection for you how the Spurs play with how they handle the Pelicans? I feel like those are kind of similar just because both of those teams are built around a bigger man down at the power forward slash center position, and then they kind of bank on role players playing well around him. And for Davis, it's the Pelicans for Davis and Towns for the Timberwolves right now with Butler out. With how they handle Davis, will that kind of give you a read on how they handle Towns?
Oh, if that's the case, then it's a bad read for the Spurs because Davis has been obliterating the Spurs in both meetings. He scored over 20-plus points in both meetings. He's double-digit rebounding versus San Antonio. So, no, I don't think the Spurs defend him well. But then again, who can? This guy is playing out of his mind this season. I think Cat will likely have a good game as well. And remember, versus Anthony Davis in the two meetings, LaMarcus Aldridge played pretty well against him, and it still wasn't enough to slow him down. So I think LaMarcus will have a handful. I would not be surprised to see maybe Pau Gasol be flashed on Cat just to preserve LaMarcus, you know, keep away from foul trouble. They got six fouls in Joffrey Laverne. Use him. I mean, I would. try to slow him down and try to make the other Wolves players beat San Antonio. So, yeah, if the pass is any indication about quality big man going against the Spurs, then, oh, my goodness, I guess chalk up a L for the Spurs.
Oh, no. we're gonna head out here, but first, Jeff knows what I do. I always make the guest come on and guess the score of the game just to give me a read because, like I said, I like to gamble on these games. I like to bet over and unders. I need some help. I need somebody to help me feel these out. So give me a score for this game and somebody you think will be kind of the highlight of the night.
I think I'll do that in reverse. I got DeJounte Murray. I think he'll have a nice game versus the Timberwolves. Why? Because his good buddy Jamal Crawford is there. They're pretty much big brother, little brother. They've been almost at the hip since DeJounte Murray's been young. Crawford has been a mentor for Murray. I think Murray's going to want to show out against his mentor. So I got DeJounte Murray kind of being that highlight worthy kind of guy who's going to really step up for San Antonio. As far as the spread, this is a good question. I'm gonna have a very low scoring game. I'm gonna have Spurs eking out the win, 96-90.
96-90. I like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah. And
I like having a tight game. DeJounte Murray, I'm gonna give you full credit for this one. You called it at the beginning of the season when we were talking so many months ago that he was going to be a big factor for this team, especially defensively. Mm-hmm. And he has really come into his own over the course of the season. He has been so impressive.
Yeah, he really has. You know, the young kid has been tossed into the fire. I mean, literally. I mean, think about it. You're just at that time. He was under 20. He was 20 years old, and they said, "Hey, guess what? You're now going to take the reins from a Hall of Famer, Tony Parker. You're going to be thrusted into the starting point guard role. And by the way, you don't have Kawhi Leonard at your side, so you need to step up your game on both ends of the court. And yeah, here's the ball. Have fun. Look." He's still learning versus the Magic, no less. He got pulled off to the side, and Popovich tore him a new you-know-what simply for making a mistake on the defensive end. They're really, you know, they got high hopes. The Spurs team, the Spurs coaching staff, they're really banking on Murray to become the player that he looks like he's going to become with a few more years under his belt. But so far, so good. And I think he's going to have to step up versus your Wolves, and I think he will.
Yeah, and like you're saying, still some growing pains. Still young guys, still some growing pains, but you definitely saw the flashes of what could be.
What's not getting really reported is his rebounding. I don't have the numbers in front of me right now, but go look at his rebounds on average for his position. It's not surprising to see at the end of a game on the stat sheet, he has double-figure rebounding. It's really incredible.
No, yeah, he has been a huge contributor in so many ways for the Spurs. I'm looking up rebounding right now. He averages 5.4 rebounds per game as a point guard. So that is good, really good. He definitely gets in there, not afraid to get into the paint. For myself, I'll go the same route. I have Karl-Anthony Towns as kind of the star. If they're gonna win, he's got to have like a 37-15 type of night. And I am predicting that the winning streak keeps going, that they keep beating these really good playoff teams. I'm thinking it's going to be a 102-98 sort of game with the Timberwolves coming out on top. And Towns, again, he has to win basically 70 to 80% of his possessions for this to go the Timberwolves' way.
Yeah, I would not be surprised at it. And, yeah, I think Cat is going to get fed a lot. And think about this, too. If he can get LaMarcus into foul trouble, good luck Spurs, because outside of LaMarcus, this is my big gripe, who on this team is the second reliable scorer? Reliable scorer. You have Bryn Forbes, who just went ghost for a span of six games, Colts, and no joke, in the span of six games, he was 0-for-3. He did not.
Wow.
In six consecutive games, he did not knock down a three-point shot. You look at Patty Mills, well, I don't want to, but he's been having his struggles this season. Now, Rudy Gay, I think he'll also be an X factor versus your Wolves. He's going to have a handful as well. You know, he's going to deal with Wiggins and, you know, bring his game to the court. So, but outside of LaMarcus Aldridge, I cannot look at this Spurs squad and say, there's a reliable scorer that I know I'm going to get double figures out of this guy every night consistently. I don't see that. Not out of Kyle Anderson, not out of DeJounte Murray, not out of Rudy Gay, not out of Manu, not out of Tony. I don't. So if I'm game planning for the Spurs, if I'm the Wolves, you know, I was like, just try to get LeMay in trouble or tire him out or make him work big time.
They need the Danny Green of like 2012 when everybody was comparing him to Ray Allen and thinking that he was going to take over as the next great three-point shooter.
Oh, yeah. Danny Green now, I mean,
I don't know if that's coming back, though.
Collectively, I think the Spurs are going to have to just spread it out. If we can get 8 points out of Murray, you can get 10, 12 points out of Mills, whatever you can out of Pau Gasol. I think that's the way the Spurs are going to have balance, versus offensive balance, that is, versus your Wolves.
For sure, and to keep that score low, if it's a game under 100 points where neither team reaches 100, I would say that the Spurs probably win.
Exactly.
All right. Well, that's it. That's it for us. That's it for the show. A pleasure as always to have Jeff back on the show. Make sure to go check out the Locked On Spurs podcast. Great shows from Jeff coming out all the time. A daily podcast for the Spurs coverage, and it's a great show just to listen to the content that Jeff is putting out there. Thank you again for coming on the show.
Not a problem, buddy.
And thank you to the listener for listening to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.